come this day to worship the Lord together as we assemble here at Hebron. We're going to sing in our worship to God the hymn 401. That hymn, O Bless the Lord of Jesus. In land or store, I may be poor, my place unknown, my name secure. Of this I have the witness sure, O bless the Lord of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 59 is our psalm for today. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloody men. For, lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to my help, and behold. Thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors, Selah. They run at evening, they make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords are in their lips, For who, say they, doth hear? But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them, that they may not be. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth, Selah. And at evening let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat, and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Amazing words. Great encouragement there at the end of the psalm. Amidst all the darkness that the psalmist writes about there and the difficulty that he was going through, I will sing of thy power. I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. Rejoicing in the fact that God was his defense and his refuge in the day of trouble. And of course, that's our testimony. It is every day. Our sister Maud Graham has had a bereavement in the family. We mentioned this on Thursday night. And we want to extend our sympathy to Maud on the death of her sister-in-law Beth, assuring them of our prayers. And also sincere sympathy to the Buick family on the passing of the Reverend Fred Buick. Our brother Fred passed, I'm guessing, during the time of prayer this morning that we had in the early time. When we were remembering the situation, we knew that the time was coming near for his departure. And he's now with Christ. And although there's sorrow on the earth, and we think of his family in Australia, and we think of the Buick family belonging to our congregation here, and you're feeling the grief today, but really it is triumphant all the way for the child of God when they leave this earth and they go to be with Christ, which is far better. So these folks are very much in our minds and in our prayers today. We've known our brother Fred for a long time. I think we came to the Free Church just before he went to Australia, went there in 1975. So he's been out there for a very, very long time. And I remember him visiting us in Port of Ogie when I was the minister there preaching and coming up to the manse, and we enjoyed a time of fellowship. And over the past year, especially during the lockdown, we were regularly in touch with each other, and we enjoyed the fellowship that we had, whether it was through a text or talking to him on the phone. But he's with the Lord today. Let's pray together. We thank thee for our gracious Heavenly Father, who is seated on the eternal throne of glory. We can say in the words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come, Lord, through the precious name of Jesus today, the one who is the sole king and only head of his church, our mediator, representing us in heaven, pleading our cause. It is on the grounds and the merit of his blood that we seek thee in this time of worship. And as always, we desire more than anything the presence of God for this time, that the Lord will be here, overshadowing this meeting, directing us in our worship, making himself known in the lines of the hymns that we sing, in the reading of the Word of God, in the preaching of the Word. Oh, Father, we want to to know and to enjoy the presence of the Lord. In thy presence there's fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And if we are to get today something of the presence of God in a very special way, well, then we will know the joy that there is to be found as the Lord draws near to us. And that's the burden that we have just now as we come in prayer. Stand among us, quicken us by the Spirit, forgive us for our sins, cleanse us afresh in the blood. Lord, take away anything that would hinder the blessing of the Lord. We know that it is our sin that separates us from God, our sins that hides His face from us. And so we would come to the fountain of blood afresh, and we pray that Thou wouldst wash us and make us clean and fit us for this time. Come graciously near and abide with us, dear Lord, today. We thank Thee for Your word in the psalm. We think of the darkness that the author must have been going through when these words were penned, and yet he comes to a place of rejoicing in the Lord. Teach us, Lord, to joy in our God in our times of trouble. And times of trouble overtake us regularly in the journey of life. We think of those who are grieving today the passing of loved ones. Think especially of the Bubik family and this double loss in their home. First a father and now an uncle. And we do want to praise Thee that both of them are with the Lord today. It would be different circumstances if there was no hope, if there was no certainty, if they could not have that confidence in their heart to their eternal whereabouts. But we thank Thee that Willie and Fred are with Christ today in glory, and that eases the burden, and it makes our sorrow different. We do remember the family in Australia. We pray for Melanie and Faith and Sam and their respective families. And we remember the Buicks here at home. Lord, come graciously near. Strengthen them. Uphold them. Give them the confidence of the gospel in their hearts today. Thank Thee for every remembrance of Fred and what he was to so many as a preacher. Think of those we've talked to in recent times, and he was the instrument of their conversion. Others, and he was their pastor. Think of the brother who I was speaking to this morning, or who texted me this morning to say that he was called to the ministry through our brother Fred. The impact that he had on so many. Lord, we thank Thee for these things, for a bright testimony, for a good and godly man. And we pray that You will be with the family in their loss. Remember the Graham family too, in their sorrow and sadness. We commend them to Your grace. We thank Thee that in the shadows of life, when darkness comes, there's one who draws alongside to abide with His believing people. May they know that today also. We pray for Ruth today in hospital. You know, Lord, her situation, the illness, the difficulties that she's been having. And we pray for her recovery. We remember Valerie today, that Thou would strengthen her and ease her burden and pain. And any others, Lord, and there's so many connected to us that need the prayers of Your people, those that we were remembering this morning in the early season of prayer, those that are on the prayer list, we commit them to Thee. We pray that You will bless us in our service for Christ. Remember Jonathan today as he preaches in Bush Mills. Remember all of our students. We thank Thee for them as they study in Bible college. May the Lord be with them. May all those things that they learn be of practical benefit to them. And we pray that You will give them a great ministry in time to come in the center of God's will as they seek to exalt Christ and preach Him to the multitudes round about. Hear and answer these are prayers. We ask them all in Jesus' name. Amen. We welcome the congregation. It's good to see more and more, little by little, folks returning to the house of God. We know that some are still to come back, and we're thinking about them too. But you are here, and Baby Gibson is here. Gideon, I'm not too sure where they're sitting. I have to look for a child's, what do they call them now, a caricot or whatever it is? Still that term, is it? Things change so quickly. Good to see him in the house of God today. Do remember the gospel meeting at 7 o'clock this evening. And this is Palm Sunday. That's the Sunday that the Lord Jesus, 1 week before Easter Sunday, rode triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem. And we want to bring a message, a great question on Palm Sunday. And there was a great question asked when he came to the city by the people that were there. And we want to answer that question tonight. The season of prayer is 5:30 to 6, and that will be on Zoom. Tuesday is the Youth Challenge at 7 o'clock, going out on our Facebook. Thursday is the midweek service at 8 o'clock, and we will also be broadcasting that as well as meeting here publicly. Special prayer for the Christian school. And then on Saturday night, the missionary and youth rally. This is the one that we would have at Easter time. The preacher is the chairman of the mission board, the Reverend Ian Harris. There'll be an update from the Youth Council by the Reverend Foster, and there will be video reports from missionaries around the world. And that will be broadcast from the Ballymena Church. We did this last year. We used their facilities. And so remember that. It's Facebook in Ballymena and Sermon Audio, the Ballymena connection there on Saturday night at 7:30. We want you to tune in, be part of that. And then skipping over to the Monday, the Easter Convention, the Monday, our moderator, Reverend John Armstrong, will be doing the preaching, and that's at 7:30 at night. The Easter Kids Club will be at 6:30, and that will be from the Martyrs. So it's Martyrs Facebook and Martyrs Sermon Audio, just the same as last year. Next Lord's Day for us, the early season of prayer is at 8 o'clock on Zoom. Sunday school is at 10:30 on the Hebron Facebook page. And just to mention to the children, that normally at Sunday school we'll get Easter eggs. Sunday school is not taking place physically here, but that will be given out after the service next Lord's Day morning, or after the worship service. Bible class, 10:30, and that will be on Zoom. Reasons to rejoice in the resurrection. And Mervyn will be doing the Bible class during the next month. Worship service. We will have a soloist, Sarah Moffat, at the worship service. And I want to preach a sermon on the resurrection. I haven't quite got the title yet, but we will preach on the resurrection next Sunday morning. And it'll be the Lord's table after our worship service. The office bearer's time of prayer at 5, and our own time of prayer at 5:30. And Rebecca Park will sing at the gospel service. So we are glad to have two of our frontline nurses who have been in these accident and emergency places for over the past year, doing such a sterling job for all of us and for the country. And it'll be good to have both of them taking part next Lord's Day. The place called Calvary is the subject next Sunday night in the will of God. The service is 7 o'clock. Thank you again for your tithes and offerings for God's work. Can I mention that we received a gift of £50 for Pakistan and some gifts for the emergency in Brazil, £500 and £100. A gift for Romania of £100. The Indian orphans, €300. And $80 towards the pallet for Romania. I want to acknowledge these and thank you sincerely. Now, this is our young people. Well, if you look at the photograph carefully, maybe not so young. A few of them, maybe one or two parents there in the background, at least on this slide. And this was their meeting on Friday night. And they had a special night. Normally, they're there studying the Word together, but finishing off the term, at least this part of the term, they'll not be meeting until after Easter. They had this special night, and they were doing some cookery. All right, some baking. And this is the end result. All right, so that looks quite well. But for one of our young people, some of you know about it, obviously, this was the result. All right, not just one, but two. So I don't know how that happened. And I don't know where you go from there, really. Either in your cooking future or in replacing what needs to be replaced, getting that all cleared up. So I'll not tell you who this was among the young people who lives out there in Ballinamore, but you can make your own guess anyhow. There is need for a teacher to cover 6 weeks of maternity cover in the school, and that's the 6 weeks after Easter, and we have a number of ones that we're pursuing for that, so do pray for us as we think about that, and we plan towards it. There will be a wee time of prayer for our committee and any of our parents that wish to join us tomorrow night, just as we give a wee time over to the Lord, seeking Him on behalf of the work in the Christian school and remembering this need especially. And that will be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. We continue to remember the work here in all its aspects, and those that are sick and laid aside. We've been praying for Valerie. Valerie was taken into hospital on Saturday evening, and she is in pain, so do remember her. Ruth Quigg, we've been praying for Ruth also, who has been suffering with COVID pneumonia, in fact. And we are remembering all these others. They're on the prayer list. And a little boy called Alfie that Phil is in contact with his family, a wee two-year-old boy that needs your prayers. The prayer list for 2021 is available. They're on the table there. The Easter Holiday Bible Club, organized by the Mission Board, FPC Kids, will be having special times over Easter. So that will be on Good Friday, and then on Saturday and on Monday. And these are all going out at 10 o'clock in the morning. We want to encourage our children to listen in. Very quickly, I want to run through these slides because we are remembering these situations continually before God in Brazil. You know the situation there. The Indian Orphan Project, as that ministry continues, also helping with the medical needs. That team that goes out helps with that. And our brother DePanker, he has just returned from Orissa yesterday, where he had conference meetings with pastors and where he had evangelistic meetings and sharing the gospel in various places. And we understand it was his birthday, and this wee family here didn't forget his birthday, but they had a wee celebration for him, so we do congratulate him. Now, just to give you this little information, many villagers are turning to Christ in certain areas of Chhattisgarh state in India, but others are reacting strongly against this and threatening the Christians that they must abandon their new faith or else leave the area. This would mean losing their homes and the land on which they depend for their livelihoods. Pastors from outside the area are being banned from coming to visit the new believers to teach and encourage them. The pressure on the Christians is getting worse. Pray that those who are stirring up this opposition will cease their activities and that God's kingdom will continue to spread and grow. We were preaching in Pakistan yesterday to this congregation here where Freya lives, and we had a great time with them, and emergency aid was given to them, food packages to help and encourage them. Everything is shut down in Pakistan at the moment again because of COVID, and this was a special time we're having at Easter with the tribal people, with our sister Deep, special meetings over Easter. The first one was this morning. And we were glad to be there to share the word. And we told you about the appeal for the uniforms. The funding is in place. And our sister went out to get these things for the school children, which will be presented to them at Easter at the Carmichael School. So remember the meetings. The Reverend Harris is having meetings over Easter as well with his group in Emmanuel Christian School. The project helping the poorer families growing the food is ongoing, and these are pictures that we got just yesterday from our sister Noreen and the congregation back in the worship of God back at Emmanuel, and they're glad to have them there. This is outreach work, evangelism in the Nasalu area, as they go out doing door-to-door work and sharing the gospel with the people there. On Thursday night, we had a visit from a representative who goes down to the Irish Ploughing Championships in the south of Ireland, and we want to pray for that ministry. And if you still have an offering towards that, please get it into our missionary treasurer, our brother Philip. Now let's sing together 423, I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me and his arm around me thrown. Then my soul shall fear no ill. Stand to our feet for the word of prayer, just to change your position. Heavenly Father, we bow again before thy holy presence, desiring the Savior to go with us, expressing our burden of heart in the words of this hymn, I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. In the varied circumstances of life, even to the time when we come to cross the Jordan, we know that it's difficult to go without a murmur. But teach us, Lord, to get to that place of the abiding presence of Christ that makes the joy in the Christian experience. Settle us now into your word as we come to read it, speak upon it. We pray that Christ will be seen and glorified. Oh God, speak to this congregation. You have a people here, Lord, and we're waiting on thee. We're waiting to hear from thee. Come down from glory. The Holy Spirit work in our midst with power and speak to every waiting heart. And give this preacher the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bring the message for Christ's sake. Amen. You may be seated. The Gospel of Mark chapter 3, as we continue with our study in this second gospel. Mark chapter 3, we're going to read from verse 13. The next little section brings us down to verse 19. And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him. And he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into an house. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to every heart. And the subject, very simply, as we come to these verses, is the ordination of the 12, these 12 disciples. Now, this was a critical time in the ministry of our Savior. He ascends up into the mountain, and he eventually called together whom he would. These were likely his faithful and devoted disciples, those who followed him, those who encouraged him, those who supported him in whatever way they could. These were the men that sat at his feet to learn from him. And then out of this number, he selected 12 as leaders whom he would instruct and train over the next 3 years of his short ministry. So there is a sense in which this was the most important moment in the entire ministry of Christ before the cross, because these were the men who were going to carry on what Jesus started. They were going to spearhead the whole work of the gospel throughout the world when Jesus left this earth. These men, therefore, would be his choicest followers. They were carefully and deliberately chosen by Christ through divine wisdom and ordination. But before he chose them, there was a special prayer meeting. Yes, an all-night prayer meeting. And the gospel writer Luke gives us the detail in the parallel account in Luke chapter 6 and verses 12 and 13. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. He's about to choose these disciples, these men that would go with him, that would learn from him, that would labor with him, and then carry out the massive responsibility of the Great Commission as the leaders, the chief spiritual fathers in the church. How necessary it was for him to pray. And not just a line or two. There are times when a line or two of prayer is sufficient. Or not just to rush even through a half an hour of prayer. No, Jesus finds a secluded spot in the quietness and the solitude of the mountain where he loved to resort. And he got there for prayer and supplication. Here he could be alone with his Father, uninterrupted by the thronging crowds that pressed upon him every hour of every day. Here he had the opportunity to pour out his heart to his Father in a time of persecution, because it was, when men sought to kill him. And in this important moment of his ministry, he is about to select 12 men to be his chief disciples. These men that he named, as Luke tells us here, apostles. The word apostle just simply means sent ones. has the idea behind it, ambassadors. These were his ambassadors, his representatives. An ambassador is one who represents another. And here, in the case of these men, they were going to be the representatives of Christ. And so Jesus spends the whole night in communion with his Father. And this, of course, was the practice and the pattern of the Savior. In every major decision, in every difficult struggle, he sought the will of his Father and the guidance of the Spirit. Oh yes, Jesus Christ was God. He did not simply use his infinite wisdom to choose these men. No, as a man, he prayed all the night through before selecting and ordaining these 12 men. As I read this passage, I wondered, Lord, what have you got for us today? And I thought, well, you know, we still need leaders in the work of Jesus Christ today. The laborers are few. As the Lord lamented over that fact in his day, so we lament over the same reality in the present day in which we live. The laborers are still few. We need ministers for our pulpits in this land and further afield. We need evangelists to carry the message of the gospel to a needy world. We need children's workers, youth workers, indeed missionaries to go to the nations of the world to present Christ. There are no apostles today in the sense of those chosen by Christ at this time possessing apostolic gifts, but Christ still needs followers. He still needs those who will go through with God, those who will be his ambassadors representing him, those that he can send forth into the spiritual harvest fields of today. And we ought to be in earnest prayer for this. In fact, that's what we're commanded to do. When the laborers are few, Jesus said, pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. What a solemn duty is placed upon the church of Jesus Christ to beseech Almighty God that laborers might be sent forth. So let's look at these men whom Christ chose and ordained to send forth as his ambassadors, and let's learn from them. Now, I want you to see, first of all, their privilege. And I think it's there in this little phrase that we have in verse 14, that they should be with him. You want to pause here, just to stop and think about what this really is saying to our hearts. The first job of these disciples was very simply to be with him. And that's important. To be around him. To learn from him. To stand in his company. To sit at his feet. And they would see everything that was to be observed. They would hear everything that the Lord was to say. They would witness all that was going on. They would observe his gracious ways, his loving compassion. They would learn so much from him by just being there. Do you see that? There was a famous preacher of whom it was said that when he came out from his study into the pulpit to preach the word, you would think that he had just come out from the throne room of heaven. And the person that this individual said that to said, I think he just did. And so he had. He had been with the Lord and he had come out into the pulpit. It is true, a preacher will only be as useful to Christ to the extent that he has been with Jesus. There is little done in the eternal good by those who preach without having a real personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I know those times when I've really been with the Lord in the study and have gone out to preach the word that he has given to me, and I know those sermons of my own heart have felt very powerful. Powerful to me, for I preached them to myself, and I trust powerful to those that have listened. When someone has been with Jesus, it makes a difference, a real difference. When you have spent time in his holy presence and communed with him and learned from him, your witness will be powerful and effective. and more will be accomplished for His glory. The more you spend in the company of another, even just in our ordinary friendships and relationships, the more you get to know that individual, the more you become acquainted with them, the more you understand their desires, the more you bond with them in love, the more you get to be like them. Isn't that right? And if that is so in ordinary relationships of our humanity, how much greater it is when it comes to being with Christ. Can it be said of you and I today that we have been with Jesus, that they should be with Him? And that's important. Have you been with Jesus this week? Have you been with Him this morning? Have you spent time in secret with the Son of God? It's very important if God is going to use us in His work. Not only their privilege, but their preaching. Because this 14th verse goes on to tell us not only that they should be with Him, but that He might send them forth to preach. And so the second job of the disciples was to preach. And it will always be in this order: to be with Him and then to preach. You see that? Spending time with the Lord and then going out to represent Him. Preaching would become their chief task and assignment. During the 3 years of our Lord's ministry, these men were going to be trained by the Lord. These were their apprenticeship years. These were their Bible college years, if you want to put it that way, when they would be in the school of learning, sitting at the feet of the greatest master, watching the greatest example, hearing the greatest preacher. And so in this sense, they had the highest possible training that any person could ever have. Under our Savior's guidance and direction, they were sent out periodically to preach the word. And their first assignment, or their first sending forth, came over in chapter 6 of Mark and verse 7. He called unto Him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two. And then you can read the next number of verses as the Lord outlines their ministry and sends them out. Verse 12 says they went out and they preached that men should repent. The Great Commission, as we know it, did not come until the Lord was about to leave this earth in those days of the resurrection. And one of the accounts of the Great Commission is those words that we have, the very familiar words in Mark chapter 16 and verses 15 and 16, where Jesus says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." So on a number of occasions, the Lord met with them in those resurrection days, and He was giving them this great commission. It was to preach, the chief assignment, the great task that they were called to. When Jesus is taken up into glory at His ascension, the disciples then began this great ministry. But first they must wait, they must tarry for power, as you know. And you know what happened? The day of Pentecost came, the power of God fell, the Holy Spirit filled these men, and out into the streets of Jerusalem they went to preach the glorious gospel of Christ. And signs followed. Multitudes were converted, as you know. It wasn't long before intense persecution broke forth upon the church. And that came to a head in Acts chapter 8, when Saul of Tarsus, made havoc of the church. The opposition was so severe that Christians were scattered abroad. They had to flee. But this was all in the plan, because the Word of God says, "They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching." Preaching the Word. Preaching is the chief assignment to every true minister. To this task we have been ordained. And this is observed also in the life and the ministry of the great apostle, who immediately upon his conversion, this is the Saul of Tarsus, who was persecuting the Christians, and because of that persecution, the believers were scattered and they went out preaching the word. This man, as soon as he's converted, in Acts chapter 9, he went into the synagogue, we are told, and he preached there that Jesus is the Son of God. And after many, many years of preaching, Paul declared what his great assignment was when he says, "We preach Christ crucified." When he wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23. And when he wrote to them again in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse, or chapter 4 and verse 5, he reminded them, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." In the very simple testimony that the apostle bears writing to the Corinthian church, we see two vitally important things. We see his task and we see his theme. His task is preaching, and his theme is preaching Christ, Christ and him crucified. And the chief task of every true preacher is to preach Christ, and to preach him particularly in the great work of atonement upon the cross when he was crucified for our sins. You see, Jesus must increase and we must decrease. And so preach as men are to be brought to Christ and saved, because this is the end result of preaching. It was also Paul who said it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them who believe. That's the end result, that men may be brought to Christ. Their privilege, their preaching. I just want to mark briefly in verse 15 their power. We're told that they were given power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Now, this aspect of their ministry was part of what they were as apostles. And we have talked about apostolic gifts that were given to these men that were not found in the succeeding generations until this day. These are not prevalent today in the way that they were when these men were called to the ministry. However, having said that, there is power that we need in Christian work. We need power to preach the gospel. We need power to be a physician to sin sick souls. We need power to wage war against the devil and the kingdom of darkness. We certainly need power in God's work in these days of the gospel as we seek to go forward with the Lord. And we ought to pray to that end. These men were given power. And maybe what they were given power to do is slightly different, but the thought is the same. Brethren and sisters, we need power. God calls us. If God calls us into any aspect of his work, we need power to carry out whatever function it is that God has called us to. And then I want you to notice their persons, just as we bring this message to a conclusion. And we have it in verse 16 to verse 19, the individuals that were called by the Lord. And there's a variety here. We see that Simon is called by the Lord. He that was surnamed Peter. We see James also with his brother John in verse 17, the sons of Zebedee. They were called by the Lord and they were given a special surname that had the interpretation, the sons of thunder. In verse 18, we have other men mentioned: Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James. That's James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, and Simon, the Canaanite. And then verse 19, and he's always last in any list that is given of the 12 disciples, this man, Judas Iscariot. And he's always mentioned with this little comment being made, which also betrayed him. These men came from all walks of life. They came from all stations of society. They possessed different personalities and temperaments. We don't know a lot about most of them. Peter, James, and John are the best known, and more detail is given to them in Scripture than about any of the other men. And those men also had special privileges from the Lord, and they went to certain places where the other disciples didn't go, like the Mount of Transfiguration, like into the Garden of Gethsemane. We learn much about Judas Iscariot, who in the mysterious providence of God was a false man through and through. There was never anything good about Judas Iscariot. He betrayed the Lord. Jesus chose Judas, knowing his heart, knowing how he would turn out, knowing that he was a traitor, knowing that he had a devil. Jesus spoke about that in John chapter 6 and verse 70. There was a man once asked a great theologian, why did Jesus choose Judas Iscariot to be his disciple? And the great theologian replied, I don't know, but I have an even harder question. Why did Jesus choose me? Of the other eight men, we know very little. Mostly their names. We have looked at Levi in this study in Mark's Gospel, or Matthew, the tax collector, the friendly, or the Roman friendly tax collector. We know there's a man called Simon Zelotes, who was a Roman hating zealot. And we know a little bit about Doubting Thomas. Not a lot, but we know a little bit about him. Someone has said, concerning these men that we don't really know about, their fame is reserved for heaven, where their names are on the 12 foundations of God's heavenly city. Revelation 21:14. Never worry if your name is never known on earth. Never worry if your name does not go down in history, or if your name never hits the headlines, or esteemed highly by others. Just make sure that you're known in heaven. Make sure you know Christ and labor for Christ's well done. Seek God's glory and Christ's kingdom. James and John were given a name by Jesus, Boanerges. The interpretation of that is given here, sons of thunder. This may very well point to their fiery disposition, the personality that they had. They were maybe thunderous men in their preaching. Peter was known for his forwardness and his impetuous nature, but he was also known for his powerful preaching. The way that God anointed him and filled him, and all those souls that were saved in the day of Pentecost, mainly through Peter's preaching, used mightily by the Lord. John was the beloved disciple. He leaned in Jesus' bosom. He had intimate fellowship with the Lord. That's a certain characteristic that we see in him. Andrew might have been the quieter preacher, the behind-the-scenes man, as we read it in the Scriptures. But whatever the case, they were all different men. They came from different backgrounds. They had different strengths and weaknesses. And Christ chose each one of them. He ordained each man, and he sent each one forth to be a witness and a representative for him. God is looking for you today. He's looking for you to lay your life on the altar for him. To go, if he calls you to go. If he called you to stay, he's got to work for you in the home front, in the home church. You may be a son of thunder. You may be like these sons of Zebedee. God might make you into a great fiery preacher. You might be quiet and reserved and more in the background of God's work. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is, God has a work for you to do. Whatever he calls you to do, he'll equip you for it. And I'm just asking you at the close of this service, will you hand your life over to Christ now as we think of these men that he ordained way back here in early New Testament times. Will you hand your life over to the Lord? You say, Lord, here am I. Will you pray as a congregation in these days when the laborers are few that God will send others forth? But I'm thinking especially about those in whose heart the Lord is working and the Lord is calling, and he's bringing you on to himself to prepare you, to train you for a future ministry, whatever that ministry might be. And you say, Lord, here am I. I want to be used. I want to be God's man, God's woman. Whatever it is for you, for me to do, Lord, show it to me. And I'm willing to do that. Is God calling you today? Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank thee that away back here you had men that you called to yourself just to be with you and to preach the word. And these were men of different strengths and weaknesses, men from different backgrounds, different personalities, men who were to the front and others who were in the background, men who were thunderous in their personality perhaps, and others who had a quiet disposition. But Lord, you called each one of them and you had a work for them to do. You had a work for those prominent men that are mentioned and are to the fore in the Bible, and you had a work for those that have little mention, maybe just their names. But Lord, we know there's a work for Jesus none but you can do. And Lord, you're calling people today, even in this service, to be your ambassador, to be your representative, to follow Christ. Oh God, we pray that there will be that ready response, here am I, send me. Encourage them, Lord, in these days. Remember our students whom you have called and whom you are preparing in these days. And raise up from this congregation others to go and make preparation for the future, to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Closing hymn is 520. Go labor on, spend and be spent. Thy joy to do the Father's will. It is the way the Master went. Shoot not the servant, tread it still. If God's working in your heart, let us know. We certainly want to hear that, and we certainly want to pray for you. We want to share that with the session of the church so the session can pray for you. There are young people we know, and you've committed your way to the Lord, and we're praying for you already. There might be others. Let us know about it. If God has spoken, let us know, so that we can pray more intelligently for you. Let's sing the closing hymn. Just keeping our seats.
Thank you.
Dismiss us now in thy fear and favor. Continue to add blessing to your word. Use it for your glory. Call men to Christ. Bring people into the work. Be with us through the afternoon and bless us tonight as we return for worship in this house of God for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you for coming, worshiping with us. You'll be asked to leave row by row. Thank you.